This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access our podcast of this show by going online to kuci.org. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County, and I'm Sally Richard, your DJ for the hour, and we are going to talk about integrated pest management and how we can deal with the bugs and things we have in our gardens and how to use fertilizers or not use fertilizers. We have Cheryl Willen here this morning, and she has a BS in horticulture from University of Maryland, MS in horticulture from University of Arizona. You can tell she gets around. And she's got her doctorate in botany from UC Riverside. And welcome. Thank you for coming.
Sure. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, so she's really the expert, folks, on pesticides and integrated pest management. So first of all, you want to explain what integrated pest management is?
Okay, well, essentially integrated pest management is a decision-making process where you look at what your level of risk is or level of acceptance of pests or pest damage in your growing area, whether it's a garden or a landscaped area or a farm. And then you make a decision about how you want to manage those pests. And you notice I don't say control the pests, because you have to be able to accept that there will be some pests in your garden. So let's just use garden generically for the sake of this radio show. And you're going to have to accept there's going to be some level of pests in your garden, but you have to be able to say, I'm going to accept that I'm going to have that level. I'm going to accept that I'm going to have a certain level of damage, but I'm going to be able to manage the pests so that they don't exceed that level. And so the integrated part is that you look at a whole bunch of different ways to keep the pests below that threshold, that level, and you combine them. So, for example, you would use a combination of cultural methods, such as pruning the plants so that they let more light in, so that the light and air, so plant diseases that depend on water to spread and grow. Water's not such a problem. There you go. You got my Maryland accent in there. So, and then, so in addition to that, you might want to, plant plants that are more resistant to those plant diseases, those pathogens. And then on top of that, you might want to consider spraying the plants with some kind of material, and that would be a pesticide, anything that's used to manage a pest or repel a pest in the eyes of the California Department of Pest Regulation is considered a pesticide, whether it's an organic material or a synthetic material. So you use all of those techniques, and then that way you don't depend on one method, and you can keep the pests below that threshold.
So would a systemic pesticide also be considered in that category?
Well, yeah, any pesticide is a pesticide. So it doesn't matter whether it's systemic or contact or remedial or preventative.
And I was thinking of, I have roses in my yard, and we do everything that you said. We open them up, and I wind up spraying because I can't control everything that I would like to control, but I can keep it under, and I use a systemic too, so I'm actually able to do that all just in my roses and use all the different methods.
Right, so a systemic is just one type of, the one way that the pesticide can get into the plant. A systemic pesticide is something you would apply to one part of the plant and it moves through to other parts of the plant. So that way you don't have to cover the whole plant. It actually works kind of from the inside out. So in many cases, systemic is a good choice of a pesticide because it actually reduces the amount of pesticide that one really needs to use because you don't have to cover the whole plant.
Yeah, and also like the bugs don't like to eat it because they're eating the leaves with the systemic in it, and you don't have overspray from something that you sprayed on because it's just in the ground and then it gets
absorbed.
Well,
that's actually you bring up a good point because that's actually a little bit of confusion about systemic. Systemic can be sprayed on a plant and move through the leaves and into the rest of the plant, or it can be in the ground. You put it in like a drench and it can be taken up by the roots and moved upwards. And it all depends on how the chemical is designed. You know, they are chemicals. So, and some of them move better through the phloem, which that means it's in the ground and it goes up. Excuse me, it goes down. You know, so that's like from the leaves. So phloem from the leaves and goes down, or the xylem, which is the water-conducting tissue, so that's better taken up by the roots and moved through the plant.
Mm-hmm. So would upwards, that be on yeah. the labeling then? I mean, on your when you look at your systemic uh-huh. that you want to apply, uh-huh. would it right. say, okay, this one is for spraying or this one's for underground?
Sure. Yeah, like a lot of times it'll have that information on the label. Okay, so that kind of brings us to, you know, another point that we really need to cover is what's on the package when you buy the material. So so I just want to be clear that pesticides can be organic or they could be synthetic. And every pesticide that's sold in California, in fact, in the country, has something called the label on it. And for people that don't really do this a lot or really look at the label, they just think it's the advertising that's on the bottle or the bag. And actually, the label is a legal form. And if you don't follow it, there's a chance that you could be breaking the law. So, in fact, there's a term that says the label is the law. So if the label says, you know, apply 4 ounces per 1,000 square feet, for example, and you put out 8 ounces per 1,000 square feet, then you are technically using an illegal application of the material. You're over-applying it. So it's very, very important that people actually read the label because that has all the information that one needs to know about how to apply, how to make sure they've got the right amount, how the right time of the year to apply it. We're very, very concerned about insecticides being applied when there's bees present. So that's also on the label. Sometimes it says don't apply if you see bees. Sometimes it says don't apply when the flowers are open. Don't apply at certain times of the day. So all that information is on the label. So it's very, very important that people read the label for the application. And then on top of that, there's information on the label about safety for people and pets and environmentally, such as the water and the air. And then finally, there's information on the label about how to dispose of the pesticide once you're done with it. So all those things are very important for the health of the environment and the health of the people that are either spraying or could enter the area that's where the pesticide is being sprayed.
And don't throw the label away, because a lot of times people will just tear it off the package, and it has so much information. If you have some type of poison that happened by to someone around your area and you need to know what you had and what you can do, that is on the label. And I want to talk a little bit about the signal words, because this was really an important thing that I found out, that if I don't read anything else, and granted, I need to read this whole label, this is so important, and those are signal words. You want to explain what
those
are?
I will, but I want to go back just a little bit about the label and being it on the container, is that you should never, ever even take the label off the container. It should stay with the container at all times, because otherwise, and otherwise that container, you don't know what's in it, and there's been cases of people thinking that container might contain soda, might contain something else, and then they just grab it and take a swig, and it's not what they expected. The other part about that is that you should never take pesticide from one container and put it into something else. So because, again, that something else it doesn't have the label on it, so, again, you don't need it, don't know what's in there. And many times also that something else is something that might have had food at one time. So, for example, you're just your disposable water bottles. I just say, I have a big 2-gallon bottle of, let's just say, an organic pesticide, and let's just say that organic pesticide is one of the stronger kinds of acetic acid, which is like vinegar. And you take that and you put it into a water bottle saying, well, I don't want to carry that 2-gallon jug, you know, out to the garden with me. I'll just put some of this in this water bottle, and then I'll put it into my sprayer and go from there. Well, somebody might see this clear water bottle with actually very toxic acid in it and take a swig from that, and that's extremely dangerous. So now let's get back to the part that Sally asked me about, these signal words that are on the label, because that relates to that, in that there are these words on the label, and go get a pesticide container right now. Okay, I'll wait a second. Okay, I guess you got it now. And look at it, and you will see three different words, you know, one of these three words on there. It'll either say danger, it'll either say warning, or it'll say caution. Okay? And so those will tell you how the acute toxicity of the pesticide, how dangerous it is if you get it on you that minute. It doesn't have anything about long-term effects of the pesticide, so it won't tell you whether it's, changes your cells or causes cancer or anything like that. It'll just say what happens if you get it in your body.
So if I have a certain type of pest that I want to get rid of, would there be a pesticide in the danger, warning, and caution? There would be different ones, or does it like if I have to hit a certain type of insect, it's always going to be a danger or poison pesticide that I'm going to have to use? Are there other options for that same one? Do they come in different potencies?
Sure. So the most dangerous one are the ones that are danger, and the ones that have moderate toxicity are the ones that have warning, and the ones that are least toxic, but still toxic, don't get me wrong, are the ones that have the label that says caution. It's likely that you could find pesticides. I don't think you could find anything on the homeowner's market for insecticides that have the danger poison, and probably very rarely that would you find something that has warning on it. Most of them would be in the caution category. But I'm not saying you can. I haven't really looked on the shelf for a while. But you want the best choice is to start with ones that have caution if you do use pesticides as part of your integrated pest management program. So look for ones that have the caution label on that, and then use those as part of the program. Just do other things before you decide to use a pesticide, but don't worry about using it if that's where you need to go. And then go back and think about what it is that you need to do, again, culturally or mechanically, to keep that pest from reoccurring. So I would definitely recommend that if you're a home gardener that you choose pesticides that have the caution signal word on the label. So look for that. You will see it. It's usually in bigger letters than most of the other text on a label. Should be on the front, but sometimes it's on the back.
And then one of the other things we didn't talk about was on the label also is storage. So where do you store your, even after you're done with it, where can you store it? Can you store it? If it's diluted, can you store that?
Right. Okay. So for storage, you always want to keep your pesticide out of the reach of children and pets, but specifically children. So we recommend that you don't store them under your kitchen sink or in the bathroom or something like that. Generally, they're stored in the garage or outside. If you can, it would be good to have them in a locked cabinet and put the key again on a higher place where the kids can't get it. And but that's really all you need to do for these home use products. As far as storing, let's say you've mixed stuff up and you want to store up that solution. Well, keep in mind that now that solution doesn't have a label on it, okay? So, you're right, insecticide number one or whatever it is on there, but that doesn't really provide information that's legally used for the pesticide. The best thing to do is just mix up what you want to use, okay? And then what you do with the leftovers, hopefully you just have like a little bit left over, is it's actually legal to spray that somewhere else where you might not even have the pest, but as long as it's legal to use it on that area. So, for example, Sally, you said you use something sometimes for your roses. So, you said for some plant disease, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's say you mix it up and you spray, a pint of that solution on your garden, but you have maybe a couple ounces left. You can go, as long as it says it's okay on the label, you can use it on other ornamental plants, even though you might not have that
disease. And the key word here is ornamental.
Right.
And not anything that I would eat, right?
Right, yes. So if the label says you can use it on ornamentals, you just use the ornamentals. You don't use it on a food crop. So, but if it's something that says, you know, I'm spraying my tomatoes for powdery mildew or something like that, then you can use it on, you know, other tomatoes that might not have it. So you have to, again, you have to really read the label. The label is very, very important.
So if it's for food, right. It's for food. Uh-huh. It's ornamentals, right. It's ornamentals.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But I know besides and I know a lot of people don't like to use a lot of chemicals, and but sometimes we have to, and that might be the most successful. But there are other ways in the integrated pest management to get rid of some of our bugs without having to use chemicals.
Okay.
So what would some of those be?
So well, let's just go back a little bit because you mentioned bugs, okay, but we're just not only concerned with insects. You know, there's a lot of other things that are considered pests. So weeds are pests, snails are pests. Plant diseases are pests, the pathogens that cause them, okay, that's what causes a plant disease. And so that's where we use pesticides, okay? And
makes
so,
sense.
Right. And so a lot of people get confused where they say, and I was telling you this earlier, is that, or I was relaying the story about how somebody was telling me that, oh, no, in my garden I don't use any pesticides at all. All I ever use is vinegar. Okay, and I'm like, well, you know, vinegar, you know, if it's sold in a bottle as a pesticide, that's a pesticide. So, and they were talking about their weed control. So things that control weeds are called herbicides. Things that control insects are called insecticides. Things that control plant pathogens are called, the fungus ones are called fungicides and so forth. And so all of those are actually insecticides. So they all fall under that umbrella, but there's the more specific titles refer to what they control. So I just wanted to be clear that just because you're using a herbicide, that doesn't mean you're not using a pesticide. All right, so that, having covered that, let's go back to your question, which was what other ways can people use to, you know, to manage their pests, right?
These are so easy. Right. I use a lot of them now that I know what they are. This is really a good way to go.
Right. So there are a number of other ways. And again, we try to get people to integrate their method of managing the pests. So I do a lot of work in snails, okay? Mm-hmm. And so people say, oh, gosh, I want to put out snail bait. You know, what can I do? And I say, well, you don't really always have to do that. A lot of times you can just change your irrigation timing and amount, because snails like to live in nice, moist environments. So if you just reduce your irrigation so it doesn't go much farther than where the plants are, and then also reduce the time or change the timing so that it's not being watered about, you know, like 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning, then you're not going to get a lot of snails going out during the day. So those kinds of things. So more cultural type things, and also you know, as we mentioned earlier, pruning the plants so that's more air circulation and light through and so forth.
And just, aphids are a good example.
Right. So, you know, aphids like nice succulent growth, and so we find them on the tips of nice succulent plants, and what one can do is either reduce the nitrogen so that they don't get so much succulent growth, so they change their fertilizer, or because we want to integrate it, so we can reduce the nitrogen. You can prune the aphids out. So when you see them, you just get your clippers out and just prune it out. Or you can just squish them with your hand, which is what I do, and I end up with green fingertips. But
Or a paper towel
if you want to go that way. Yes. But, yeah, so you can do that kind of thing. That works really well.
And I've had luck actually taking a hose and just a high stream on, because I just hate to nip off those little rosebuds that are just starting up, but those aphids are going to get them, and I don't want them to. So, I either squish or...
Right. Yeah. So you know, we're trying to have people limit their water. So one of the things is, you know, I like to squish. You know, some people like to use a hose, but if you do use a hose, you know, it does have to be a pretty high pressure, to make sure you knock them off. That works really well for whiteflies as well.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Right. Can knock them off. But you have to also remember, you have to get the underside of the leaf. That's where these guys are hanging out.
And a lot of times bug identification and insect identification is really looking. Like, I'll look at my tomatoes, and all of a sudden I see these little black droppings down there, and I go, uh-oh, I think I got caterpillars.
Right.
And they're always hiding under the leaf, and they're usually right near the stem, so they're hiding in there. Mm-hmm. And if you, and so you have to turn that leaf over so you can find it. And those I usually squish, take a rock and squish them. And,
right.
But they kind of have a dead giveaway.
Uh-huh. Right, right. And that's really another good point, because that's a big part of integrated pest management is monitoring for these pests. So go out at least once a week and do that, just as you described. You know, look at the plants, see if you see any holes, see if you see any damage. Look for caterpillar frass if you see holes. In fact, sometimes I see the frass before I see the other damage.
Yep.
And then and that's really good, especially for tomatoes. And there's a tomato hornworm that can just decimate a plant. So, you know, a lot of times you see the frass, and then you look up a couple leaves, and then you actually see the insect because it's been dropping the frass
I've had,
below.
Yes,
yeah.
And caterpillars on this for the first time on my cucumbers. I've never seen them on cucumbers, but you can tell they got little cut edges all the way around the edge, and that's dead giveaway for that one.
For a different kind of beetle, though.
Yeah,
I mean, a different kind of caterpillar.
Yep.
Right.
Different
yes,
kind.
But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And most of the time, caterpillars you can just pull off, and you don't have to use any insecticide, and just pull them off, and as you say, you know, take that satisfaction of squishing them, doing that. Yeah.
Whatever you like to do,
that's
right?
That's right.
Oh, that's really terrific. So there are things on the pesticide label that have to be there, and I don't think a lot of people really appreciate that that is actually law and that all the things on there are on there for a reason. And so make sure that you keep those labels with them. Make sure you check where you want to put your, where you want to store it after, and know if something happens, what you can do. Do you have to go to the hospital right away if you get poisoned somehow or something happens, so that you're prepared ahead of time, and don't store them under your sink. That is really, really important, because a lot of times they'll look like it's just sugar water or candy or pop, and the kids don't really know what it is. And I want to thank Cheryl for coming, because she was just extremely full of information, and I know we didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg on all the stuff that you know. So I'd like to thank you for coming, and especially on this hot afternoon. And before we end the show, I'd just like to ask, is there anything that you'd like to, can you think of anything that we might not have covered?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, the main thing is I'd like to refer people to the University of California's statewide integrated pest management website, and that's www.ipm.ucanr.edu. And there you can find a bunch of information about specific pests, about integrated pest management, how to manage pests very safely and effectively.
Oh, treat. That's terrific. Thank you. Would
you like to repeat that?
Oh, do you want? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay. All right, no problem. Yeah, just
for
let me repeat
for those of you
that.
Who didn't have a pencil, now we're ready.
Yes, put that pesticide down that I asked you to get earlier, and let me just give you that information again. So that's the University of California Statewide Integrated Pest Management's program website, and that is www.ipm.ucanr.edu. And then I also just want to remind people, if you have pest or pesticide questions, talk to your local Master Gardener's office to get that information. That'll be your first point of contact.
Yep, and we do have a hotline, so you actually can go online and ask questions, and we get back to you. And so if you have something you need an answer to pretty quickly, that's a quick way to do it. I'd like to thank you for listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in the Garden Show, and make sure you tune in every week on Thursday from 8:30 to 9:30 for another green topic.